And podcast audio is recording. Get this gosh darn thing up and or running. So where is the business? Oh, every time. You gotta drag.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm gonna tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
All right, decibels looking a little funny in the wine cellar. All right, coming out a little smoother, this, that, and the other. All right, William J. Black Ass Motherfucker, a.k.a. Dark Skin Nicholsworth, Phoenix Kaliter, the Uppatini. Why the fuck are those all the way over there? That's why this shit looks weird. Okay. Jesus Christ, those were all the way over there, those volume knobs. I'm gonna figure this thing out. Alright, and Phoenix Kaliter from the Twitter, Uppity Negress, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's, Uppity Negress. And I'm on the Twitter too. You can follow if you want auto tweets of wine cellar shit. That's actually not a bad deal. Yeah, auto tweets of wine cellar shit. Actually not a bad fucking deal. All right, we're going to figure this thing out. It's got the Sester, FOSTA, yes. Figure out what that shit stands for.
Yes.
Facebook data mining. Yes. I don't know what the fuck that is. I have my opinions of the opinions, but I don't know what the fuck it is. Like, I don't expect privacy, all right? As I said, when I was 12 years old on 23rd and M Street in Hilltop, Tacoma, I could look out my window and there was a police camera staring straight the fuck at me. I don't expect privacy. I think you're silly for expecting it yourself. Grow up.
Well, see, that's the fun thing about what Facebook did, actually, is that they didn't just violate users' privacy, they violated their friends' and family's privacy as well. That had a lot to do with what happened. So, it turns out that Facebook has been actually collecting cell phone data and data from your Androids, right? So what originally happened was people were downloading the Facebook app and Facebook Messenger, right? If you remember, once upon a time, you used to be able to be on a mobile device and check Messenger. Remember those days? Now you have to have the app downloaded. However, when you download the app, that gives them access to your phone and everything on it. And so, this is on, ARS Technica reporting They noted that several Facebook users with Android devices who had similar stories of their data being stolen, and noted that the data collection not only happened to their Facebook accounts, but accounts of family and friends as well. What Facebook did was use the call and text history of a phone as part of an opt-in feature for people using Messenger or Facebook from Android. This helps you find and stay connected with the people you care about and provide a better experience across Facebook. The thing is that then what they used that data for was to take the phone numbers of everyone you call and everyone you text. They have records of how long you stay on the phone with people, who you call the most. You know, if you're texting, they can see what you're texting other people. So, yeah, it wasn't just they violated your privacy. They violated the privacy of everyone you talk to, so even if that person doesn't have Facebook, right? So if you have Messenger and you're... best friend doesn't have Messenger, they can still see how often you call your best friend or message your best friend or what you're texting your best friend because you have the Messenger app. So, yay, privacy!
I bet they're really interested in all the people I talk to on the telephone. Phoenix, I'm outside. Okay, I'm coming outside. These very in-depth conversations, or when I send my boss a text message picture of something someone did wrong in the machine room. It was big stuff. There were paper towels taped to the machine. You're not supposed to do that.
That's very important stuff. You can't just say that.
Yep. Ah, it's fun being a boring person.
It is. Which is funny. Remember the time used to text you when I would be outside work, outside your work, and I would just be like outside, and it was like the last 8 messages in a row were just outside. Like,
yeah.
Every day for 2 weeks.
Or then sometimes you put afuera, so outside in Spanish. So Facebook has a whole bunch of outside and afuera, and sometimes pizza. Right. We doing that this month.
So that happened originally. And then, right. Yes, Jam, that is something. We're out of toilet paper. I text that too sometimes. So there's that. And then the next scandal, because it's like chips, you can't have just one. The Cambridge Analytica situation. So Chris Wiley is a whistleblower, I guess. Do you get to be a whistleblower when you're complicit in something for several years and then you're like, I'm done now, I'm out?
Wait, were they aware of it the whole 7 years?
Yeah.
I guess as a whistleblower, it's just not admirable.
Yeah, I can go with that. So this is referring to the election. Cambridge Analytica was creating profiles about Facebook users to try to influence how they viewed things politically. And Chris Wiley said that the Facebook data was being misused for political campaigning and has wiped billions off the share price of Facebook. Oh, well. And has suggested that the scale of the data leak is larger than what has been reported so far. Giving evidence to a UK parliamentary select committee today, Wiley said the 50 million number that the media has felt safe to report because of documentation they can rely on, but my recollection is that it's substantially higher. My own view is that it was higher than 50 million. So more than 50 million people got their shit data mined, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, remember, like, they have fucking shit at red lights where they fucking, read your smart device, whether it's off or on. They can fucking turn it on remotely. Mm-hmm. You know, they do what they want to do. Fallon Matthew, FallonKitty.com, left a comment in the archive chat space. Always, when you're in the wine cellar, we point to the classism. Fallon said, it doubly sucks since Android is cheaper than Apple. And Fallon also said they had an option to opt out of linking mobile contracts in the application, but I don't know if that affected anything. I do know these options were incredibly hard to find, though.
Yeah, they were hard to find and very unclear as well. So, like, you got the impression that it was just your data. A lot of people didn't realize it was everyone you caught. Like, not just everyone you caught, everyone in your phone book, everyone in your contact list data. I don't think a lot of people knew that. And so then this thing, according to Wiley, he says there were several iterations of the Facebook harvesting project. the Facebook Harvesting Project. Great. It started as a small pilot to see most simply was data matchable to an electoral register. We then scaled out to make sure that we could acquire the data in a speed that we could acquire the data in a speed that we thought we could. And so there was a personality test app. You know how people do those tests and be like, oh, I'm, you know, whatever, 60% cute and 40% ugly or whatever. Those kind of things.
Oh, what Facebook started as.
Yeah, right. So those take your data. Initially, 10,000 people joined the app in 2014. The project went well, and that's when we signed a much larger contract with GSR. And then the information was a foundational data set. Right. And this is what we built the company on. Facebook has previously confirmed 270,000 people downloaded the app, a data harvesting route. And let's see, earlier this month, after more revelations, it turns out that more than 50 million people have since downloaded the app. So I guess my thing is, not only do I expect Facebook to steal your data. What's weird to me is that they keep framing it as like, and this is how we influenced the election or created political profiles of people. Because it's like, you can generally look at somebody's, unless they have a business profile or they have their place of employment and they have to be careful about what they post. I think you can tell most Facebook users' political profiles, no? I mean, yeah. You can, right?
I flubbed on understanding the question.
Oh, that's what they're saying. Like, you know, we're using this to influence people politically, but it's like, if I go to, you know, who's that black conservative guy? I can scroll down his page. I can tell you what pages he likes. I don't need a data tool. I don't need his data to be mined. I can already fucking tell you what he's down with.
And I mean, really, like, for folks born after, like, 1975, is there shit really changing after they're, like, 25 years old?
That's
anybody
also a
really? Like, I mean, people pick their fucking person in the primaries, you know, and I mean, and they might change it in the general, but they're not changing parties. Like, people are fucking deadlocked, man. Motherfuckers are not that goddamn open-minded, except for people that lost a job and someone is talking populism, which is why Barry Hussein and Trumpel-Stiltskin got some of the same voters, because they heard a populist say, I'm going to give you a job. Say, oh, fuck, I got bills and shit. Save me, Mr. Negro Man. I mean, I is be kind of racified, but whew, I need a job, Mr. Negro Man. Help me. What? Racist? Job? Well, you know what? Two birds, one stone. I'm with it. Like, they're with whoever the populist is. There are several comments in the comments section. They are freedom of speeching it up. Fallon Matthew with FallonKitty.com said, Does the stock drop really matter? Like, is Zuckerberg feeling it? Nah, man. It's fucking like upper middle class white boys that do it for fun. That it really means a big old deal to, and like a couple of shareholders, and then a couple of people who think they're gonna be those upper middle class white boys, and they never will be. And I hope you're tuned into this. It's never going to happen. You should really just fight the power.
No, I mean, when you get to that point that you're a billionaire and your stock loses money, fucking Facebook could go bankrupt tomorrow. That nigga's still a billionaire. Like, you know.
And Jan Loco said, is this a giant distraction from the real nefariousness? After we get past this, we're going to get to the real nefariousness.
Because
you've got Sesta Foster and we've got some show notes. And Fallon Loco said, this is some Black Mirror. I know you want to get back to the article, but didn't we mention that in the car on the way back? Because of what some folks were doing with what's Sally Albright?
Yes.
Yeah, like literally taking like dead people's Twitter accounts and refurbishing them into bots to retweet anti-Bernie Sanders posts, as if Bernie is running right now. He's back in the Senate. Fuck off.
Like, that's not the point. We have to keep the talking points going so that the next time there's an election, we have to remind everybody they have to be a centrist to win, because progressives don't win.
That nigga's gonna be 8 million years old. He's not gonna run.
Also, the centrist didn't win either, so there's that.
And abolish the Electoral College.
They could. They should. All right, so this is, this Wiley guy gives an example of what they were doing. It says, for example, if you were to create a create profiling algorithms that predict certain traits, let's say a high degree of openness and a high degree of neuroticism, and you look at profiles, that's the profile of a person more prone towards conspiratorial thinking, for example, they're open enough to kind of connect to things that may not really seem reasonable to your average person. And they're anxious enough and impulsive enough and to start clicking and reading and looking at things. So you can create a psychological profile of a type of person who is more prone to adopting certain forms of ideas, conspiracies, for example. You can identify what that person looks like in data terms. You can then go out and predict how likely someone is going to be to adopt more conspiratorial messaging, and then advertise or target them with blogs or websites or various what everyone now calls fake news, so that they start seeing all these ideas or all these stories in their digital environment. They don't see it because they don't watch CNN or NBC or BBC, and they start to go, well, why isn't everyone talking about this online? Why is it that I'm seeing everything here but mainstream media isn't talking about it? Not everyone's going to adopt it. So that advantage of using profiling is you can find a specific group of people more prone to adopting ideas. If you can find those people in your data sets because you know what they look like in terms of data, you can catalyze a trend over a time. But first you need to know what those people look like.
And you can trick them into thinking that millions of leftists are collaborating with Mike Cernovich on the biggest YouTube channel that you haven't searched and subscribed to yet. It's a huge fucking channel. So many followers.
It's so big you can't see it. That's what
that's
it is.
It's like God.
It's so big you
it's
can't see
fucking
it.
Omnipresent, man.
Yeah, and I mean, I get what they're doing, but at the same time, doesn't that happen organically? People don't just start off thinking Alex Jones has good ideas.
They were already there.
Like,
yeah.
You were already willing to sit down and listen to that. And eventually you're going to be like, you know, I want to find people who are woke like me.
Yeah, like basically, and that's why shit like this has to be entertainment. Like, things like, we have to try to do an entertaining show, because if you're not lefty-headed, you're not going to fucking check it out. So we have to be leftist entertainment. And then, like, so, like, it's like you would come to, like, us for leftist entertainment. Jimmy Dore, Katie Halper for leftist entertainment. Then you would go to, like, a motherfucker like it was Jane Sanders, I think. No, Laura Flanders. What the fuck? Jane Sanders. That's Bernie Sanders' wife. Laura Flanders. No, but Bernie does. And so does Nina Turner. But, like, you would go to Laura Flanders for just facts, for just straight news. You'd go to Amy Goodman for just facts, for just straight news. You would go to fucking that nigga Ralph Nader. Ralph Nader's program is very good, and it's hilarious that his co-hosts have good microphones while he telephones in. You go to that for straight good news, like Jan Loco in the chat space. That's where I got put up on the fresh news on lawsuit changes. Yeah, like new tort reform shit coming down the pike. I got that shit off the Ralph Nader. Like, that's leftist information. And then after you have your information, you come to us because it's all bad news, so we can make it funny for you. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening.
Yeah. And I'm not surprised. That just seems to be the natural thing of what would happen on the internet, is that somebody's going to steal your information and try to influence you, but also that you are already influenceable. You know?
Yeah.
Because people fucking love confirmation bias. People fucking love echo chambers. It's like a safe space. And it's not just a leftist thing. It's across the whole political spectrum. People love their fucking echo chamber safe spaces. So,
yeah.
I'm not surprised by what they're doing.
Like, we're a little echo chambery. Like there's somebody, like, okay, like, like, you got motherfuckers like Lil Assy, Iggy Azalea, goofy ass motherfuckers that do silly shit with hip hop or cultural appropriation. You ever notice, I realize I actually cover cultural appropriation all the time, but I don't cover it seriously. Other people sit down, we're going to have a discussion, we're going to go over this issue. But I know there's somebody in the audience who's like, but it's kind of funny. And then they find this show and they're like, fuck, it wasn't just me.
Yeah.
So we're your echo chamber for, but that shit's kind of funny.
By what's happened, and of course the thing is, the more that keeps coming out, are people stopping using Facebook posts?
Shit, no, man. Fucking memes, nigga.
Memes.
Nigga, I love memes. Like memes, You may not see, again, like, people that I follow, I don't comment all the time because I usually follow folks that are further marginalized than myself. So you don't fucking need my fucking big cis man voice all in here. You know what I think about your oppression? Let me tell you something. But like Fallon over there in the chat space, FallonKitty.com, like when you post story time, I read them shits every time, like while I'm about to clock into work and I'm eating some bread and shit so that I have hard stool because I got soft in the past month. And these are old people problems, Fallon. You get ready. fucking, you know, like I check out all your motherfucker shit. Like actually a lot of like little trans niggas and sex worker niggas follow my shit, and like and I follow y'all niggas back, but I don't comment, but I see a lot of your shit. Like one little trans nigga, little homeboy is like 19 years old, and cuz be posting about like his parents misgendering him again. You know, like, kind of like daily updates on just the fucking struggle of the shit. You know, and I follow all them shits, but I don't fucking comment. I just, I see you, nigga. Yeah, that's what's happening. What, Sester Foster?
Are you on Sester Foster now?
You haven't memorized. I'm not doing, you know all the facts.
All the facts. I have the facts and the figures right here.
You have the best facts.
Well, mostly because they're real, so that's like a good start. All right, so SESTA, S-E-S-T-A, stands for Stop Enabling Sex Trafficking Act. They put a lot of thought into that one.
That is fucking Christ. Like, it sounds goofy, like you can barely take it serious. Okay.
Yeah, well, And then FOSTA is Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act.
All right, well, they know that people get raped in prison, and we have the school to prison pipeline. Sesta Foster, get on it.
No. So,
yeah.
These niggas.
Gun it in.
All right. So basically, allegedly, what Sesta Foster is supposed to do is prevent online trafficking. So they created all these fucking like stipulations and laws and punishments. So if you have a website and somebody is promoting, advocating, or basically talking about sexual activity, like selling sexual services, any kind of sex work, you can get in trouble. And so they did this, and their rationale was like, well, but like 70% of traffic victims are trafficked through Backpage, so the best way to save them is to shut down Backpage. To which I'm like, okay, first of fucking all. So, if you know where the victims are, why would you shut down the one place where they are? Like, there's a bunch of kidnap victims in the mall. Let's burn down the mall. Like, what? Like, first of all. So, the premise is bad. And then, of course, they are on this whole, you know, we need to stop sex trafficking. And they can't stop conflating consensual sex work with actual sex trafficking. And so now the way these laws are written is incredibly vague, and a bunch of websites are closing down or closing their spaces so that they don't get these charges. Because now, like, if I were to put up a sex work ad and say, oh, I'm selling, you know, XYZ services for X amount of money, and I put it on like Craigslist is, you know, whoever is running Craigslist is facing time. So Craigslist got rid of their entire personal section. All the Reddit subthreads about sex work got shut down. And now Google is erasing sex workers like Gmail accounts and cloud accounts where they talk about sex work, or they talk about, you know, safety tips where they have nudes, things like that. All that shit's getting shut down. So now sex workers have nowhere to advertise, which means they are doing street work. Because that's another thing, the way the law is written is if you are in like a secret Facebook group, like hypothetically, and you have a conversation of, you know, I got this guy's number and he's offering services and I'm really not, you know, like, sure, he doesn't really seem safe to me. Can anybody like verify this number, or have you had experiences with him, or do you know this name? You can't do that anymore, because that is promoting and facilitating prostitution. So now sex workers can't even check, like do reference checks and shit like that. So now basically they can't advertise online, they can't talk about harm reduction strategies online, and they can't do background checks online. So basically people are just going to back to street work if they don't have a following or a website that hasn't been shut down. They're just going back to street work and hoping for the best. Now it's worth noting that when Craigslist opened up its, erotic services section, the entire national female homicide rate dropped. Because, you know, it's really cool when you do something if you have places you can screen clients. But that's gone now. So the death rate is going to go back up. And nobody cares. And that's kind of like the gist of the bill. People already, politicians are like, it's working because they're closing down them. You know, they closed down Craigslist and shit like that. And it's like, okay, but now sex workers are literally, and I've been reading them, I'm looking at the text messages, I'm looking at the emails of bad clients who are abusive saying, I don't have any access to new sex workers, but I have your number, set up a session with me. I'm watching clients say things like, yeah, I know I didn't follow your rules, but I know you don't have other choices because you can't put up ads anywhere, so you have to see me. So we made sex workers safe. And then, of course, like, the ultimate thing with it is, like, niggas are fucking tripping on this whole, like, it's gonna stop trafficking. So y'all want to tell me that a trafficker is this, like, morally bankrupt psychopath who's just gonna kidnap young girls and force them into sex work, all that, and you think that they're gonna get slowed down because your fucking website got shut down? What, are they gonna send them back home? Give them a fucking lollipop and go home, kid? We don't need you here anymore? No, they're gonna be out on the streets working. Or they're gonna be dead. So, but yeah, you know, whatever. We did this for sex workers.
Well, there's, again, sadism.
Yes.
Use these words again. Look, god damn it, let's go ahead and Google sadism just so you can just so you can understand that you can use this word. Yes, sadist definition.
Yes,
I could be like Kyle Kinane to say definition.
You could be like Kyle Kinane
and say, okay, sadist, a person who derives pleasure, especially from sexual gratification, from inflicting pain or humiliation on others. It's no secret that SWERFs hate sex workers, and it has been said out loud that they're traitors to other women and deserve to die. Sadist.
Yeah. And, you know, it's fascinating, too, watching the arguments. Someone on Twitter actually made the argument that this bill was good because if consensual sex workers have to do more street work, and they're working alongside traffic victims in the street, it's better for everybody because the traffic victims have to deal with less abuse. They didn't say the problem was the abuse. They said it was just better because it was more evenly spread between traffic victims and consensual sex workers. Someone fucking made that argument.
Socialize the caste system.
Socialize the caste system.
Like, basically, everybody should be on the bottom but me.
Basically.
Yeah. Yeah. So back to that episode. There's a reason why we gotta need to kill a lot of people. Fucking now, you know, I know academic niggas is out there like, correlation to causation, we need to discuss that logical fallacy. Mm-hmm. But like, what? I don't know what year Craigslist popped up. I don't fucking know what, 2005, 4, 3.
Something like that.
See, yeah. And you look at when computers with internet access, and we're talking dial-up days, back when a motherfucker like me could get one when I was 15 years old. That was 1998. Mm-hmm. When I got my my first computer off working odd jobs. And so, I mean, I guess I could, because I was a broke-ass fucking little hood-ass teenager. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get my hands on a computer and plug it in and get on the World Wide Webernets. So I'm pretty sure other people could, too. And Gary Ridgway, which I'm pretty sure that was Washington State, right?
That was Washington State. Yep. Green River Killer.
Green River Killer. His active years, 1982 to 1998. Mm-hmm. I know correlation ain't causation, right, but it's worth looking at. But, like, so imagine if they fucking had all these, basically sex work unions. Right. It's what you're really doing is actually union busting. Mm-hmm. Is what you're fucking doing right now. You fucking Democrat motherfuckers. You're union busting. And if they had these unions between 1982 and 1998, Could Gary Ridgway even have been that fucking active? He would have just had to fucking really do a public mass shooting and then kill himself. Like, that would have been the only way he could have got his kill on. Because the fucking unions would have had too much power against him.
Yep.
Fuckers.
And then, I have to read this tweet. Because I was looking for it. We had this conversation on Twitter. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Prostitution isn't work. Renting your orifices isn't work any more than a landlord who rents space is a worker. I am not a sex worker advocate. I'm only concerned about sex, trafficked women, and kids. Willing prostitutes are misogynistic tools.
Willing prostitutes are misogynistic tools.
Yes.
Is that person with her?
Yes.
Of course.
Interestingly enough. And yeah, so these are the conversations. And I can't stress enough that, like, in these, like, private chat spaces and private groups and email threads, there's a lot of harm reduction conversations of, how, if you're in this situation, how do you get out? Where do you go to verify numbers? Where do you go to run background checks on potential clients? How do you get around this? Can you be my safe call? A lot of harm reduction, and that's gone, right? And the idea here is to deny sex workers from having a social support system, a social network. That's the idea, and that's what they're doing. And they're laughing about, like, literally they're laughing about it, saying, ha-ha, we're shutting the traffickers down because Craigslist shut down its personal section. Okay, well, I'm literally looking at men who are hobbyists, right, who frequent, places where sex workers are, saying that this is good because now they can force specials, and they can violate boundaries or expect more services because they know the girls can't advertise.
Sadists. Oh, yeah, and keep in mind, they're shutting the traffickers down, which means I had no idea that they were shutting down the Vatican. That's amazing. And that's
amazing.
That's an old school institution. I did not know you were doing that. And I had no idea you were keeping white people from the UN out of Haiti, out of Jamaica, and out of poor areas in Africa that white people made poor. Checking out the comment section, archived chat room on the Facebooks, winecellarmedia.com. Doop 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 doop. Jan Loco's up in the joint. Corey Rashad posted up in the joint for a moment there. And then we're trying to catch where the comments are. Jan Loco said, I just want the regular people to know what backdoor stuff is going on. While everything is waving Facebook, you guys are awesome. Thank you. Fallon Matthew posted upside down smiley faces and said that hashtag delete Facebook tag was odd.
Oh, also, speaking of the Facebook thing, I forgot to mention, too, you know they share your shit with law enforcement. Like, if you're suspected of committing a crime, or someone you know is suspected of committing a crime, they'll go back and look at those fucking phone logs and shit. So, keep that in mind.
Oh, Jan Local said, hard to hear PC. Let me check the decibels.
Uh-oh.
Let's see what's going on. Yo, 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 check me out. Phoenix, do yours.
Yeah, I think mine are okay. Oh, maybe mine are not okay.
Yeah, what your shit's hell? Low.
All right. Ah. But, yeah.
Yeah, keep going. Okay. Yeah, if you don't say words, you can't see him.
If you don't say words, you can't see him. The magic of decibels. But yeah, so like, I'm pissed about the Sesta Fosta shit. I'm pissed about the whole situation because sex workers are in danger. Sex workers are getting hurt and people are just not caring. And of course, you know, also, like, sex workers don't want to see people being trafficked, you know, but you can't fight trafficking with this kind of shit either, because I'm telling you, someone who's willing to fucking, you know, literally beat people into submission, kidnap kids and force them, coerce people, threaten violence, threaten their families, they're not just gonna let these fucking traffic victims go the fuck back home. You're gonna make that money one way or another. And if that means that you can post 10 ads on Craigslist to make your money, or that means you turn 20 tricks outside, it doesn't fucking matter. They're gonna make you earn that money. And it's like, people gonna end up in fucking ditches and shit. And that's just what's gonna happen. And they're like, but we lowered trafficking, which you really know what the actual story is, right?
Why?
They're lowering trafficking by getting people killed. You can't keep the numbers the same if people are dying.
Well, actually, you can if you don't let people get abortions. They pump out more people to die. And then that means there's still a problem, which means we got to hurt more workers. What can we do next?
What can we do?
Yeah.
Oh, and then, of course, the way that this shit is set up, it's going to start cracking down on general free speech across the internet. Right? So now it's gone from... Yeah.
Wait. No, something else just popped in my head. Go for it.
I was going to say, so, like, considering that net neutrality is about to start... Right?
Oh.
Yeah, net neutrality is about to start. And now, like, because what right now the stuff that's closing is predominantly sex worker based stuff where they can't advertise, or they can't talk about how to stay safe doing sex work. But pretty soon, if you're, like, sending nudes, you might be promoting sex work. We don't know. You can't have nude pictures. You're using violent language. You might be making a threat. We don't know. Right? Fucking Microsoft said that they're no longer allowing vulgar language on Xbox Live. Right? So, like, all their fucking online gaming systems. You can't cuss no mo.
And the cold irony is, it's you fucking Gamergate fuckers. That's your fault. <You're> like, and, but now, popped into my fucking head, so they're gonna get rid of trafficking, right?
Yes.
Because now, one of the things, because I remember when I was 19, I sat in a bedroom holding a shotgun to help out the homeboy T-Boy while he ran an errand, because he was a pimp and a sex worker was working a client in the living room, and I just had to hold the shotgun and bust out and put in work if she screamed for help.
Mm-hmm.
They're giving sex workers incentives to go to pimps.
They are.
Traffickers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's going to happen. Which is another thing, too, is because you can't advertise, which means you're losing your in-call spaces, right? So that's when you have an indoor space set aside. If you can't advertise for your in-call, you're going to be working on the street. So whether you want a pimp or not, the pimps will find you, even if you don't find them.
Yep. Damn, it's damn near like what fishing used to be in the fucking Columbia River.
Hmm.
It's going to reach in there and grab, look at all them fish right there. That pretty good.
But, of course, you know, they don't care, so...
No. Well, like they do care. They care that it happened because they enjoy it.
They do enjoy it. It's fun. And, of course, you know who one of the biggest proponents of this bill was.
Kamala Harris.
Kamala fucking Harris.
Nah, well, now, hold on now. Kamala Harris is a black woman. Therefore, uh-huh. This is misogynoir, just right. Like when the Clueless, Stacey Dash, when she said that victims of rape are just bad girls that want to be naughty, if you disagreed, that was just misogynoir.
Yeah.
All right, that's a fact-based fact.
Yes.
Condoleezza Rice getting down with the Bush administration, pushing for that weapons of mass destruction. And when black people critiqued her, she said all skin folk ain't kin folk. You disagree, that's misogynoir. Or are you niggas just partisan? What
I'm just pointing out that, like, when white former sex workers and white journalists went after Kamala over the back page thing, they were called racist and told that they weren't allowed to say a black woman's feminism wasn't legit because apparently getting niggas locked up is feminism now. That's what we're doing.
Shit, if you read some of these groups, yeah. Right? Like, I remember one I saw, it was, you know, Asia B and her crowd.
Yeah.
And, like, they had posted a video. And, like, and I don't like that shit either. Like, it was some black boys. They were teenage boys. And they were being fucking assholes to some black girls.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't like that shit either. I don't want to smack the shit out them little niggas. But most of the comments said, I shit you not. This is the closest to a verbatim quote that I can memorize. Because the 10-year-old stole my tablet and deleted a bunch of my pictures and shit. So I don't have the screenshots anymore. But fucking, they said, the cops can't kill you little nigglets fast enough. You know, wow. Like Tamir Rice.
Like Tamir Rice.
They can't kill. So actually, a lot of them do think that.
Yeah, a lot of them do. And yeah, so that was the thing. And like, because I know Imani Gandhi was fucking one of them who's like, you can't critique black women's feminism if you're white. And I'm like, she's trying to send niggas to jail. We can critique that, right? That's not the policy we want. But, you know, it's interesting that since this has passed and sex workers across Twitter have been speaking, I haven't seen Imani tweet about it, but maybe she said something important.
Did she say that before or after she was letting Elon cry on her shoulder about his little Klan wife? Fucking coons. All y'all niggas over there, some old coon ass niggas. Man, fuck y'all niggas. And that's why can't none of y'all niggas get at me, because you can't fuck with a nigga like me. Like y'all, I'm a different type of nigga. Like I don't got no beef with y'all niggas just because like niggas went to college and shit. But like y'all niggas grew up to be funny style.
Yeah.
And you don't understand how to interact with me. Like when you came up from the type of household where like fucking $80,000-$90,000 a year was your normal life, and your parents paid your way through college, and you had a little scholarship, you don't know how to interact with me because I actually don't give a fuck. Phoenix has seen me interact with people in public. I actually don't give a fuck. And that's strange to you. And it's a little scary. It's a little scary because I'm lower class. It's like George Carlin said, the poor are there just to scare the shit out of the middle class. So I'm kind of fucking scary.
Well, I think that it's like not understand, because like, but I did the thing and I put all my, I did the respectability thing and I hit all the buttons and you're not giving me my prize. Give me my prize. Give me my prize.
Yeah. And I'm still saying fuck you and come see me. State Route 59.
They ain't gonna see shit.
Right? But Benjamin Dixon always talking about who he gonna be word slap. Are you sure about that, Mr. Sir?
I need a rule on people. If you've never been in a fight, if you've never been legit punched in the face, if you've never legit punched people in the face, you're not hitting anybody, you're not slapping nobody.
Yeah.
It's just funny too when they say that. That's like white girls like, I'm gonna kick your ass. No, fucking not.
Yeah,
but yeah, I can't get down with it. And there's this whole like, you know, but we know, and again, it's that also, it's fucking like, what is it? Patronizing shit. We know what's best for you. What the fuck you know about a goddamn thing, nigga? You don't know shit.
Nigga, you never had to go in the store and steal deodorant and a toothbrush and toothpaste when you were growing up. You have no idea what's best for me.
Exactly.
Some fucking basic living is what's best for me. Fuck you. No, all right, just no. like the same people that say fucking college is what's best for you. Ask the homies about what that student debt like. While I work with like some niggas that are in the maintenance department where I worked, they took their ass to fucking trade school, didn't have much debt to pay, and they're fucking like one of them motherfucker makes $2,000 a week.
Yeah,
$2,000 a week. Fuck a debt. But you gonna come and tell him, well, you know, I think you need to get a degree in African-American literature. That'd be pretty good for you. You know, you gotta... Yeah, fuck it with that bullshit. Right? Like, fuck, you don't... And it like, now, tangent, because you right-wing motherfuckers, too. Let's dance it away from the left, and you fucking right-wing libertarian motherfuckers with all that fucking, where they diss the safe spaces and shit.
Snowflakes, they're triggered.
Yeah, and they're like, "What? But you go to college so that you can have your ideas challenged. You go to college and have your ideas challenged, you fucking liar. All right? Let's challenge the idea that by being a white male, you are inherently the most nuanced motherfucker on earth. Let's challenge the idea that anything your parents told you ever made any sense. Let's challenge the idea that the black people you saw in the grocery store were just using welfare. Let's challenge your ideas. Fuck you. And let's also challenge the idea that you're telling the truth right now when you say that's why people go to college. People go to college so that they can demand a higher salary when they enter the workforce full time. That's why people go to college. People don't go to college so they can say, let's see if there's people I disagree with. Who the fuck is doing that? Who the fuck is 16 years old doing their pre-SAT testing it out? Because it's like, oh, I can't wait to disagree with somebody at 2 in the morning with warm beer and cold pizza. Oh, it's going to be awesome. They're not doing that. They want big money dollars when they're in their late 20s and early 30s, motherfucker. Fuck your lying asses. We're almost an hour in. We didn't do... Well, I guess we did do news. Shit.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the thing remembers, pasta's bullshit, cesta's bullshit, anyone who's supporting it is bullshit. Anyone who is not actively speaking against it is bullshit. I am very happy to make this one of those line in the sand type of issues, okay? If you're not opposed to it, okay, you need to speak about it. If you're being silent, that's compliance. If you're not actively tweeting or Facebooking or using social media or whatever the fuck it is you use to talk about this, you're on their side. And I'm very okay with saying that because this is some shit that's going to get folks killed. So either you are solution or you are a problem.
You pro Gary Ridgway or anti Gary Ridgway?
Right. Are you pro, like, well, I mean.
Ooh, Ted Bundy? That nigga?
Ted Bundy, Gary Ridgway. I forgot that nigga's name up in Canada.
Is there a Hillside Strangler?
Hillside Strangler, Boston Strangler. There's a lot of them. They just had the fucking,
They're about to make a comeback. We're going to see stories about them like we see fucking school shootings.
Yeah, they had the, there was like the one in, I think he was like, well, he was kind of in a couple different states, but it was a black guy and he was killing black sex workers.
Say word.
And it was like, I think they called him the Grim Sleeper.
Fuck, I remember that nickname.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's like, people always target sex workers. And then like the thing is that it never comes out until later because nobody knows who the sex workers are. It's just like somebody's missing and then they find a body and they don't know who it is, right? Because obvious reasons, you can't advertise. You can't be like, oh, I'm going here. And like, because this is the shit now, is it's not just like you can't advertise online. It's not just that you can't like ask for advice online. It's that you literally can't be like, yo, can you give me a ride? That's a felony, B. That's a pimping charge. Your landlord know what you do? They going to catch a charge. They going to put your ass out. You going to be homeless.
You know, and Fallon said, and Holtzclaw.
And Holtzclaw.
Yep, those motherfuckers, man. And then you also got to look at shit like, because, again, way, way, way back in the wine cellar before Phoenix and I came across each other, some shit I was covering was like, you can't be, if you're, like say they want to assume you're a sex worker, mm-hmm. Just living your life, whatever. If you're like near somebody for, I think it was something like more than like 90 seconds yeah. who had a conviction, then like you're a suspect and they can arrest you.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the condoms thing is going to come back into play too.
And never went away. Condoms.
Yeah. And I'm trying to, oh, I thought I had the thing saved because I was reading an article about this one sex worker. Oh, Wendy Lynn Eistetter. She was a sex worker in Canada and got, like, she was a drug user and, like, got high with this nigga. He had a pig farm and he, like, stabbed her and tried to kill her and feed her to the pigs and shit. And she told cops and they was like, but you're a prostitute. Can we really trust your word? And they let that nigga go for, like, another 10 years killing people.
Shit.
Fucking body parts all over that farm. It's gonna be that.
The motherfucker in Texas where they use that law, that some sort of sundown law where no one can steal from, if someone steals from you after dark, it's mm-hmm. okay to shoot them to death.
Yep.
And he murdered a sex worker because he didn't want to pay yet because he thought she hadn't done enough work yet. Like, yeah. Basically, he wanted to go over the boundaries.
Right.
And then, so he got to legally murder her in Texas, and that, so that's basically a murderer also, walking around right now.
He shot her in the neck with an AR-15.
AR-15s.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that. Yeah, so, I mean, it's going to be a lot of that, and it's going to be a lot of sex workers getting raped to avoid charges. It's going to be a lot of people who aren't actually traffickers catching trafficking charges because they're trying to help the homies out, you know? It's going to be, and, like, because that shit that is actually happening, people have actually caught charges for pimping, pandering, trafficking, because they drive a sex worker to a job, or because they, you know, will take them to a clinic to get them, you know, the STD checks, or because they, you know, call me when you get home so I know that you're safe. That kind of shit gets you charges. So, I mean, go us, I guess.
And kind of dancing back to the college deal, mm-hmm. Fallon Matthew, FallonKitty.com, check it out, said, college, including uni and all of that, is overrated. All of it. And also, mess you up given who it's run by. Yeah, like Fallon is essentially like spending what, maybe like 7-8 years being traumatized on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Like you're gonna spend the next 2.5 decades in heel mode, which means we'll have to keep podcasting for her. Nigga, we're gonna be old. Yeah. Just trying
already
to
already old.
Yeah. Trying to help this nigga. We're gonna be good. All right. Wine Cellar Media, you fuckers know, AR-15 warning, we're going to cover some shit. FallonKitty.org, is it .org now? .edu? I think it's .ed, fuck you, because she's really mad at them right now. Man, that's what's going to... Okay, I guess I'm going to try to rush through
some stories or something.
Some of the shit that I had. All right, so it's going to be skim mode because... We got mad and yelled at you.
We did.
That's what we do on this here program.
That is what we do.
All right, so Damn, this is not a good episode. Seventh trans woman that we know of murdered in the U.S., shot to death in a motel room. her name, does that say Amia?
I believe so.
Amia Tyree Berryman, a 28-year-old from Los Angeles, was found shot to death in a motel room on Monday night. Police were reportedly called to the Baton Rouge area of Los Angeles on Monday after reports of gunshots outside of the hotel in the Wooddale East neighborhood. The body of Amia Tyree Berryman was found at the scene with multiple gunshot wounds. Police are still investigating her death and will conduct an autopsy later that day. Later today. Like, this one was put up, like, when I clicked on the story, it said posted 4 hours ago.
Yep.
Yeah. While police have not yet misgendered her, that's the kind of shit you actually have to say in these articles. While police have not yet misgendered her, local news reports have misgendered Berryman and used her dead name. That was from WBRZ TV2. They dead named and misgendered her and have yet to rectify this as of writing. All right, more skim. Idaho inmate abused boys but won't join sex offender list when he's paroled.
Oh.
All right, so I read this one through. Let's skim it down real quick, real fast. All right, so a man wants his brother to stay in prison because he's about to get parole. So he went forward to the parole board and said, and just came out with a secret he'd been keeping, that his that he molested and raped him when the one who's in prison was 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get confirmation on how young the victim was.
Mm-hmm.
And then the reason why he went to prison was for raping boys.
Oh.
And then, now why he won't get on the sex offender list, grandfathered in.
Get the fuck, yep. Fuck y'all niggas.
Because I think it's, if your shit is from, like, before July 1st, 1991, then you don't get on, and his shit was June 30th.
Oh, fuck that.
Wait, here we go. I have the exact dates. I was kind of riffing on that, but, okay, if convicted on or after July 1st, 1993, not 91, and his, yeah, I got June 30th right, but it was 93, not 91. So, yeah, he's one day before being on the list, he's grandfathered in to not being on the registered sex offender list, and he's still going to get out. And so a boy out there is going to get raped, but you know what? You stop the sex traffickers, so maybe it won't happen.
Maybe it won't happen. He can't find them on Craigslist. It's not going to happen.
Whoop-de-skibbity-flippity-doo.
I got one I got to do.
What is it?
It's not a good one.
Nah, none of these. Look at these shits.
I know. But just in light of the Sesta Fossa, like, of how serious this shit is, a Milwaukee man told police he beat and stabbed a 19-year-old woman he described as a prostitute after having a dispute over how much money he would pay. John Gillum, 29, said he killed Morgan Hunekennis before wrapping her up and dragging her behind a shed on Sunday. Gillum faces a count of first-degree intentional homicide and second-degree sexual assault. According to the complaint, he told police he lost control and killed her with a knife and beat her with a pipe. During the interview, he said that Morgan Hunekennis had messaged him about having sex for money. He said that while she was at his home, they discussed the price of sex, and she threatened to leave if he did not pay as he was supposed to. He said that this made him angry, so he punched her in the face, covered her mouth, tied her up. It says he had sex with her, but obviously he raped her, and then took a knife and stabbed her in the neck. He then said it appeared she was suffering, so he grabbed her with a metal pipe and hit her so she didn't have to suffer any longer. He said, now, this was over money, right? So he confessed that he was upset because she didn't have change. He paid $200 and the fee was supposed to be $170. He killed her over $30. He beat her to death over $30. And by the way, she was a black woman. And she was young, and this is what we're talking about. So, you know, yay, Sesta Fosta. More of this. Enjoy it. Yeah.
Yep. Nah, go put on your fucking pink hat and high-five a cop. And don't forget to put one on Harriet Tubman while you're at it, fuckface.
Eat some sheet cake.
Go fuck yourself. New York Police Department cop collected nearly $15,000 in overtime by lying about working on rape cases, and he'll still retire with a full pension.
What the fuck,
man? There's a link to the full story on WineCellarMedia.com. rape trial opens for former cop out of Michigan City. In the opening statements Tuesday morning, the state told the jury that the victim is an intellectually disabled 25-year-old woman whose disability prohibits her from being able to consent to sex. Deputy Prosecutor Elizabeth Boehm, might just be Boehm, Elizabeth Boehm described the victim as unable to drive, do laundry, remember to perform basic hygiene practices, and write much more than her own name. However, she said, a Westville police overseer discovered the woman and Jackson, then 51 years old, having sex in a van parked in a baseball field on March 5th, 2017. According to Elizabeth Boehm, the victim, let's remember, Elizabeth Boehm is the prosecuting attorney, the victim had been told not to tell anyone about the reported sexual encounters she had with Jackson. That's his name. This is a quote from Boehm. The state's position is that victim could not consent due to her disability, end quote. Craig Brahe, Jackson's defense attorney, confirmed that Jackson and the woman were approached by an officer at a baseball field. However, he said the officer only saw movement in the van and not sex, and felt satisfied with their conversation enough to allow the two to leave the scene together. Really, so a cop saw a cop and believed what he said and said, cool.
I mean, we don't even know that. He just straight up might have fucking watched her rape him and said, fuck it.
Shit, how we know you didn't get involved, motherfucker?
Seriously, I don't. Shit. Yeah, fuck that. I don't believe that at all.
Continuing with the article, the state alleges a sexual relationship between Jackson and the victim existed between February 2013 through March 2017, but Mr. Brahe said no evidence exists to prove such a claim. He described how Jackson and the woman met at the at the home of one of her relatives, who also was friends with Jackson. The man reportedly hosted multiple parties to watch both were to which both were invited, as well as several other guests. Now, this person who was a friend of this rapist cop, remember, he was a cop and he was her friend. Mm-hmm. I just want to know if she ever left any comments or posted social media saying, what? Not all cops, a few bad apples. I have a friend who's a cop and he's a good guy. Mm-hmm. I just want to know if that post or comment exists from this person. Continuing, Mr. Brahe, the defense attorney, indicated it was the victim's mother who had asked Jackson to spend time with the daughter. Blame the woman and take her out to do activities. But he said a victim acted as an adult, did things as an adult, performed and had an adult lifestyle while living with her mother. According to attorney Brahe, the woman's IQ measurements are 15 to 20 years old, and her dyslexia diagnosis doesn't prohibit her from consenting to sex. I'm gonna go kill a man.
15 years old, though, and he's like 50.
And the brain doesn't finish developing until 25.
But her IQ now indicates that she's about a 15-year-old now. And they've been doing this for years. So, okay.
What?
Yeah.
Continuing, in fact, the attorney said the woman's mother had provided her daughter with thorough sex education as a teenager, going as far as to buy the girl a vibrator when she turned 18 and take her to a male strip club and casino when she turned 21. Additionally, the alleged victim had had previous boyfriends and had been engaged at one point in time with so previous abusers and creeps and rapists that preyed on someone. So basically what you're saying is she's previously been victimized.
Right.
He contended...
Whoa, hold the fuck up. Wait. So additionally, she had been engaged at one point in time with her mother's permission to have sex after she was married. I thought y'all said she was grown, but she needs her mother's permission to have sex after being married. Yeah, okay.
What? She's 15. In Minnesota. He contended the young woman was not mad at or scared of Jackson, but the idea that she... Nigga, if I fucking work a whole bunch of overtime and get a shiny vehicular and go down to some fucking high school and fucking shave myself up and put on Jordans. Some 16 or 15 year old isn't going to be scared of me. Still a fucking predator. Mm-hmm. They're going to get the fuck out of here with that shit. Making me not finish sentences. Attorney Brahe, wait, did I skip a paragraph? Contended that it was not scared of Jackson, but of the idea that she might be arrested after having been approached by an on-duty police officer, but suggested that her fear of arrest is what prompted her to tell her mother about the sexual relationship she had with Jackson. So you hide some shit. It was 2013 to 17?
Yep.
Hiding it for 4 years, but also because he told her to.
Yeah.
I wonder why.
And he told her to, even though she didn't need to, because she's grown.
And getting to the end of this here, according to court documents, the victim has the mental and emotional abilities of a child between the ages of 10 and 12. She is expected to testify sometime on Wednesday. Jackson resigned from the Michigan City Police, so he still gets his pension, last March after becoming the subject of the investigation. He faces 4 counts of level 3 felony rape in which the victim is mentally disabled or deficient, each of which carries a potential sentence of 3 to 16 years in the Indiana Department of Correction. Pending the resolution of his case, Jackson remains free on $2,500 cash and GPS monitoring.
Wow.
He'll be back on the street in no time and with a pension check to go kick it with. This is what happens when you cross rape culture with ableism. Mm. And back to the chat space, see what the holy heck darn is going on there. All right. Yep. Well, folks are just hanging out there. All right. That's winecellarmedia.com. Well, I'll try to do something else on the next episode, like really cover more bad news.
Probably. We'll probably do that.
Yep, maybe.
It's a kind of a habit at this point.
Yeah. This episode was we... You know what? Well, we covered the trending stories.
We did.
Let's cover more trending topics and yell.
Okay.
All right.
I like yelling. I'm good with yelling.
And you recently got invited onto a program.
Yes. I believe it's called Struggle Sesh, like Struggle Session. It is a podcast, and they would also like to talk about SESTA and FOSTA, because that's an important topic these days.
Yell.
So, yes. Yeah, I'm gonna fucking yell, because I'm pissed. So.
Yeah, don't forget to tell them. I'm sitting here telling you, tell them what I said, or call it union busting. Call it union, but I think that's a good message to put. Union busting. Stay to the talking points. Nothing burger, union busting.
Nothing burger.
Oh, man. That was goes back to folks that know our personal journal updates. When we first got the cable in here, we were like, okay, let's take a look at MSNBC. And we looked at MSNBC for about 2 hours. And apparently that morning, the executive said, your talking point for today is nothing burger. Get out there and make it happen. I forgot what they were calling a nothing burger, though.
Something about Russia.
Yeah, like, well, you know, this latest update on Russia might be a nothing burger. We gotta see more. All right, we're gonna bring on an expert from Cambridge Analytica, and they're gonna...
I like the one we did the other day when I got out of the hospital and you had, I think, had MSNBC on, and it was like...
Oh, oh, they were talking about... They were talking about fucking universal basic income.
Right.
And they talked about it, and then they, like, the other people talked about it, right?
Right, so they, like, it was a morning show, and it was the morning people were like, we're going to talk about this. And they clipped to an interview of somebody else talking about it, and then it went back to the host, who were like, well, but who's going to pay for it? And then they were like, and we have some Russia news, and it was Russia, Russia, Russia. And then the next segment was Stormy Daniels. But, you know, I just have to wonder, does she have a motivation for coming out now?
Didn't that nigga Chuck Schumer say that she should appreciate, like, all the attention or whatever because she can make more money now or some shit like that? Yeah, yeah. Fucking schmucky Chucky.
Yeah, so it's like the low-key slut shaming, like, why is she coming out now? Why did she wait so long? And then it was more stuff about Russia. And then it was Hillary Clinton said words, and then it was more Russia.
You a hardcore motherfucker when you could fucking, like, you misogyny level 10. It's level 10. Is that that's top? Like, if we're just going 1 to 10? Yeah, you're misogyny level 10 when you will slut shame a pornography performer.
But, I mean, they're probably only slut shaming her because she's a pornography performer. Like, these are the same people who want the fucking Sesta Fosta shit. Of course they have to slut shame sex workers.
Huh. Yeah, and those are going to be the last ones left that they got to get rid of.
They're trying. They're trying to get porn to be considered a public health hazard.
Democrats?
Democrats are easing into the idea.
Hey. It's a two-party system.
It is a two-party system. They're nothing like each other. They never agree on anything ever.
Oh, man, it's hard being a fucking hood progressive. I don't know. We'll find some more hood progressives and get a mini network going on. God damn it.
Need to, because nigga.
Shout out to them niggas over at Actify Press, man. Go to YouTube, subscribe to Actify Press, Actify Chat. They have some, they put some dope shit up. Hit them niggas up. WineCellarMedia.com. Go to Fallon Matthew, FallonKitty.com. Fallon Matthew writes books. Go on fucking Amazon.com. Buy them. All right. Buy them. Read them. Tell your motherfucking friends. Shit. Every single year, your friends have birthdays. Get them a fucking Fallon book. You're sitting there like, you're going to get them another fucking Target gift card, nigga. Really? Another Target gift card? Nigga, get three Fallon Matthew books and give them to your fucking friend and be like, what? Hey, if you don't like this, you hate black women. Fucking use their talking points. I know your friends are Democrats. I know you. All right, motherfuckers. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Facebook Live. Ending. Quit ending so slow. Hurry it up, Facebook. Done. Podcast audio. Get the foogie.
Get myself a stiff neck. My mic too low.
Nugga.